Alright, so starting at verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, having predestined us into the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, I got to stop here because in the Greek, actually, here all the way down to verse 14 is all one sentence. In Greek, they have no such thing as a run-on sentence. I wish I was true in English. I didn't do well in English. I always tell people, I joke around, I speak American, I don't speak English. And so my grammar teacher would just shake her head and just kind of, and I said, you know, adding periods. All you got to do is put a period where you pause. Well, I don't pause. You've heard me talk. I don't pause. So I never knew when to go. So I would have been a good Greek because I could just keep going on and on and on and on and be all right. And it doesn't work so much in English. But this morning I want to stop and look at when Paul starts writing this letter here. There's a couple things he starts talking about. In the book of Ephesians, he uses this phrase over and over again, or similar to it. It talks about in Him. Notice what he says here. That blessed, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessings in heavenly places, what? In Christ. Verse 4, just as He chose us, what? In Him. Right? And we go down through, and continually throughout this book, he starts talking about what we have in Christ. And if we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, not only does He come and dwell in us, that we have Him in our heart, but we are placed in Him. And because we are in Him, all these things come to pass. What a blessing we have, because we are in Christ. And so, in a minute, I want to pause and think about, what does that mean to be in Him? What does it mean? Because Paul uses this over and over again. But verse 3, it's important for us to realize, as he starts talking, that we are blessed. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. See, there's that in again, right? But in here, we got to realize that because we are in Christ, we are richly blessed spiritually. Not just physically, but spiritually. That in here, now don't get me wrong, God has blessed us with more stuff than I need. Right? If you're like me, you know, I have boxes of stuff stored away. I have more than I need. I'm sort of a pack rat. Well, my wife would say, you are a pack rat. I would say, I'm sort of a pack rat. Right? I have more than I need. You look at me, you can tell I eat more than I need to. Right? All these things. We talk about all the material blessings that we have. God has been good to us. Amen? Oh, that was really pathetic. God has been good to us. Amen? All right. He's taken care of us. But that's just part of the equation. See, because we are in Christ, and the relationship that we have with God, it's not just a physical thing. We're told that the Gentiles seek after all the physical things, the wealth and success, and all these things that they gauge themselves by. As Christians, we're different. That on top of this, we have a spiritual richness, a spiritual awakening in our lives. And God has richly blessed us, he said, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As we talk about sort of the spiritual things in our lives, that in here, look, our joy is a spiritual condition. Not just happiness, but joy. You know, I can be happy momentarily. You know, I was out shoveling snow, moving stuff around. I came out and my wife made a fresh pot of coffee. I was happy. Right? Until I had to go back out. Then I was unhappy. Right? All that kind of comes and goes. But But a joy that we have from the Lord is a spiritual condition that we have that starts from the inside out, that I can be joyful no matter my circumstances. No matter what's going on, I can have a joy in my life. And as a Christian, we can have that. We can have a contentment. Contentment comes from the Lord. That spiritual condition we have, that no matter what the circumstances, Lord, I am content. I am pleased with what I have. Love. That in here, because God is love, love is a spiritual condition as Christians that we can have. That here, not only am I loved, think about that. In the world, people are looking for love. Looking for someone to love them unconditionally. The world is filled with love, but it's conditioned. If you do this for me, then I will do this for you, right? If you act a certain way, if you look a certain way, then we will love you. But if not, God gives us unconditional love. In my worst, God still loves me. What can separate me from the love of God? Right? There's nothing that you can do that will cause God not to love you. That's powerful. Now, He may not like what you do, but He'll still love you. So we talk about joy. We talk about, compassion. Contentment. Love. That all these things that we can have that He gives us is a spiritual condition because we are in Christ Jesus. See, there's two aspects of things. One is the physical, the other is spiritual. In John chapter 3, He talks about this idea, this duality here. Jesus answered and said, "Most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." He goes on throughout this passage talking to Nicodemus about how to get saved, how to get into that relationship with God. That one part is the physical. I'll have you explain this to the kids. Right? To go to heaven when you die, to have a relationship with God, you got to be born physically, you got to be born spiritually. And I like to ask the question, how many of you have been born physically? The answer is, guess what? If you're here, you've been born physically. You probably don't remember it. Your mom does. And if your mom was like my mom, she'll remind you that often. You know, 24 hours I was in labor to bring you into this world, right? You can never live that down. Right? I was born physically. You have been born physically. You're halfway there. You're halfway to God. But the Bible says we're born spiritually dead. That connection with God has been broken because of sin. And He talks about being spiritually renewed. We must be born again. Must be born of the Spirit. And when we're born of the Spirit, now we are placed in Him. We need to realize that spiritual awakening needs to take place in all of our lives. And we become spiritually alive by accepting Him as our Lord and Savior. Believing He died on the cross for our sins, for your sin. And accepting that forgiveness. When that happens, He comes and places His Spirit in you. And you become spiritually alive because you are placed in Him. So this brings us back. We talk about in Christ, in the Lord Jesus. We talk about in Him. We're going to see this all throughout the book of Ephesians. So I want to take a moment and talk about this idea of what does it mean to be in Him. And so I've been sort of pondering this around. The best way to kind of explain this. And I kept coming back to, are you on the bus? Are you on the bus? What? Pastor, you're crazy. Yeah, I probably am, but hopefully there's a point to this. Because we need to realize that when we are in Him, we have all that He has. We are inherited with Him. Our blessings are in Him. And so in this, I really started to come back to this idea of a bus. What bus are you on? Because how many of you guys have ever ridden on a bus? Now, my oldest daughter, we homeschooled her. And we asked her, what's the one thing you missed about school? And she goes, riding on the bus. And I told her, I said, you're not missing much. No offense, John. But as a kid, we rode the bus. I did not like riding on the bus. I did not like that. I couldn't wait until I was old enough. And actually, before I got my license, we were close enough that I rode my bike to school. I didn't want to be on the bus. But my daughter, she was all upset. And then the youth group went somewhere on a bus. And she was all excited. She got to ride the school bus. Right? I said, how was it? She goes, it wasn't that great. Well, but in here, we talk about the idea of being in Him. Of being saved. And that's what we're talking about. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that when we accept Him, that in here, we are placed in Him. All right? And so the idea of the bus came in. That, look, if you ride a bus, you go where the bus goes. It stops, you stop, right? All the things that takes place on the bus, you are there, you are involved because you are on the bus. If you're in Christ, you have all the benefits of being with Christ. When He goes, you go. When He stops, you stop. When He gets a blessing, you get the blessing as well. In you, we talk about this importance of abiding in Him. John chapter 15 talks about, look, abide in me and I in you. He talks about the idea of the branch versus the vine. He says, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now see, the whole relationship with God is based on being in Christ. All based on what bus are you on. In here, 2 Corinthians talks about, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now here, we are placed in Him. Now the important thing is, we need to realize, just like the bus, you're just not naturally on the right bus. Actually, the Bible talks about that because of sin, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That when we are born, we are on the world bus, if you will. All right? Now, some of you are saying, Pastor, you're kind of stretching this bus thing out a little bit. I probably am, but bear with me. All right? When Adam and Eve were created, everything was perfect. They had fellowship with God. They were on the God bus. But they chose to go their own way. And ever since then, mankind has been on the world bus. The Bible talks about broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to God. That the whole world, when we are born, we are on the world bus. Now, while you're on that bus, some people are good and some people aren't quite so good. Some people are generous and some people aren't. Some people are loving, some people aren't. But guess what? They're on the bus that's going the wrong way. When I was born on the bus, I was just going the wrong way. No matter what I did, I couldn't earn my way back to God. Why? Because I was on the bus, I was going the wrong way. Doesn't matter what seat I was in, didn't matter what I did, the bus was going the wrong way. Does that make sense? And so in order to change bus, I need to stop and say, okay, Lord, I want to be on with you. That is a willful act of accepting the free gift of God. If you want to carry out this illustration of the bus a little bit further, is that you need the ticket to get on the bus. And that ticket is brought in through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. That in here, because He paid the price, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's important to realize that, look, because of my sin, I'm going the wrong way. But the gift of God. Over the years, I've talked to a lot of different people, and they say, you know what? I know I'm going to heaven. I said, well, how do you know you're going to heaven? They said, because I'm a good person. No, you got to be on the right bus. I've talked to some people that say, you know what? I've always been a Christian. That's not the case. We are born on the wrong bus. We need to get off and get onto the right bus. And the only way to get that is through the ticket of Jesus Christ. And I want to go through this because we're talking about the church and we're talking about the fellowship we have and all the rewards we have in Christ. And I just want to make sure you understand, are you in Christ? Is there a point in your life in which you have accepted that free gift of what He has offered you? There should be a time when you remember where, yes, Jesus, I believe You died for me. And I accept that. Now, I'm not, you know, some people, you know, in their Bible written on the, you know, the first month of this, and they need an exact time and date. I'm not asking you that. I know in my life, I was 5, 6 years old. And the pastor gave an invitation at church, and I went forward, and the pastor talked to me and said, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That because of my sin, it keeps me from God. But Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Do you want to accept that gift and give Him your life? And I said, yes. I got off the wrong bus and got on the right bus. But there should be a time in your life when you remember that I made this decision. When I accepted that free gift. When that happens, you are given that ticket to heaven, if you will, and you are on the right bus. But it's a choice of what you want to do. Then in here, the Bible is clear. How do I get in Christ? How do I get on the right bus? It's not hard. It's not a matter of doing and giving and all these things. We can't earn any of these things. It's a gift from God. But Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's that simple. So many people want to complicate it so much. It's what I can do and how I can earn. No. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're here this morning and you've never done this, and you say, you know what, I believe in God, but I've never taken that step of accepting Him. All you have to do is do a simple prayer. There's no magic formula. I say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin keeps me from You. But You died on the cross for my sins. And Lord, I accept that free gift. And Lord, I want to live for You. That's it. And be careful, I'll get into overtime. And in that, takes us off the wrong bus and puts us on the right bus. And now once we're in the right bus, you know, then we figure out what seat we sit in. And now we figure all those things in. But praise God, I have all the things that are in Christ. All the blessings. Notice what it says, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places now belong to you if you are in Christ Jesus. And this passage is going to go on. And next week we're going to start looking at all the one another's, all the in Him's. As Christians, that the benefits we have because we're on the right bus, that He provided for us, that He included for us. All right. So all the blessings we have in us. Verse 3 says, blessed be the Lord, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. There's another concept that we're going to hit this morning. I'm just going to read verses 4 and 5, and then we're going to talk about this because it's going to be sort of a sticky wicket this morning, because the Bible starts talking about this idea of elect, or talk about predestination. And I want to just kind of pause and kind of look at what the Bible says about these things, and before we jump into the whole rest of the passage. Verse 4. It says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. And actually, while we're in here, I'm going to jump down to verse 11. It says, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. So we talk about being, what does it mean to be in Him? Being in Christ means that you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, that now I am in Him and He is in me. But then we get this concept that Paul brings across, this idea of predestination. And what all this means is to be foreordained. All right? That in here means pre-picked, if you will. And this causes some discord among churches. There's people who will fight that talk about, well, God is sovereign and God does what God wants to do. And the other side is free will of man, that God allows us to pick and choose for ourselves. And so there's churches that will take one extreme stand and the other will take the other extreme stance. Well, this morning I'm just going to take what the Bible says. Is that all right? And so sometimes the Bible lays things out and I just got to take it by faith in what the Lord says. In here we really have this clear indication in verse 4. In here it talks about, but as He chose us in Him. Verse 4 says, having predestined us to the adoption of His sons in Christ Jesus. We already looked at verse 11. It says, in Him also obtained inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him. Romans as well talks about this. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. So in here, if you will, the Bible's pretty clear that in here, guess what? God knows who's going to be saved. That God offers salvation to who He wants to offer salvation to. In here, that God is sovereign, God is in control. Salvation is only through Him is very clear. Now wait a minute. Does that mean we don't have a choice in this? Some will go to the extreme position. I remember talking to a pastor. He said, yeah, you know what? God's going to save you if you want to be saved or not. God will take and knock you over the head and drag you to heaven, kicking and screaming if you don't want to go. Well, I don't think that's the picture that God gives in Scripture. Actually, I know that's not the picture that God gives. Also, some people will talk about things. I'm going to get a little technical this morning. There's some people that want to talk about a double predestination. That God is up in heaven saying, well, you're going to heaven and you're going to hell. You're going to heaven and you're going to hell. That's not what the Bible says either. But the Bible is clear that God is sovereign and God will do what God wants to do. Without a doubt. But see, also, the Bible is clear that each one of us have a responsibility to choose. The Bible is clear that free will is a strong Bible doctrine. That God is sovereign and He is the King, but also God in that allows us a free will. Free will is so important because what God wants from us is us to freely love and accept Him. You know, I have an 8-year-old daughter. I'm bigger than she is. Right? And I can take her and I can hold her down and I can twist her arm and I can say, tell me you love me. And she'll say, I love you, right? Get off me, but I love you. How much does that mean? That means nothing. But boy, she'll crawl into my lap. wrap her arms around me and says, "Dad, I love you." You know? And my heart just melts. She's got me wrapped around her little pinky. Right? What's the difference? It's free will. God wants us to have a relationship with us. And in that, to freely come and freely choose. And that comes at a great risk, because when God allows us to choose, there are some that will choose God. But there are also many who will choose to go their own way. And that's the risk of choice. But the reward is an open and free, loving relationship that we can have with us. And the Bible is clear in all this. He talks about this as in Jeremiah. He talks about, "If you seek me, you will find me. And when you search for me with all your heart." I can tell you this morning, the Bible is clear that if you are searching out God, guess what? You will find Him. Anyone who turns around and says, "God, I'm looking for you." The book of Romans talks about creation, talks about the glory of God. You can't help but look at the world around you and know that there is a Creator who put it all in the place. And when you pursue that and say, "God, I want to know you more," God will happily reveal Himself to anyone who opens their hearts to Him. Anyone who seeks Him will find Him. Actually, so much so that Jesus says that, look, He's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to what? Repentance. God doesn't want anyone to die and go to hell. He does not want that at all. His desire is that all would get saved and come to Him. That all will choose Him. Book of Romans chapter 10 talks about whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible's clear on this as well. Anyone who cries out and says, "God, save me," God will save. I find it inconceivable by reading the Scriptures that someone would believe that someone crawls out to God and says, "God, save me, forgive me, a sinner," and God would look down and say, "No, not you." That just seems foolishness to me. God has time and time again shown His mercy to anyone who calls out to Him. So much so, I think of the book of Jonah. A wicked city, Nineveh. God calls down judgment upon a whole city. And they repented, and God spared them. God is a merciful God, a long-suffering God, and a patient God. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, I think this morning, I think we've made it pretty clear that in here, the Bible talks about predestination, that God will save who He wants to save. And in here, He has the ability to do what He wants to do. But on the other side, we have God lets us pick and choose. Now, wait a minute. How do those two things come together? Can I be honest with you? I don't know. I think the error of some is they want to go one way that says it's only up to God. I know pastors who will turn around and say, you don't need to witness because God is going to save who He's going to save. You don't have to do anything. We don't have to send out missionaries because God's going to save them. He's going to save them anyways. We don't have to do anything. That's hogwash. That's a theological term. That's not biblical at all. And I know who's on the other side says it's all up to us. God has nothing to do with it. That's not true either. And so how do you put these two together? And I want to show you this picture. I'm going to stick with the bus. That in here, as we talk about being in Christ, right? Getting on the right bus. If you can put your picture and kind of put this in your head, that on the outside of the bus, above the door, it says, "Whosoever." That we are called to go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. That we need to be witnessing and sharing the faith. We need to be sharing the love of Jesus Christ, letting them know that Jesus died for them, for they are part of the world, that God so loved the world that He gave this free gift. It doesn't cost you anything except your surrender. And He says, come on in. The bus has plenty of room. Come on, join us. Whosoever will may come. But it's interesting because once you get on the inside of the bus, it says you're chosen. You're part of God's elect. Can I explain it deeper than that? No. But that's sort of the mystery of the faith. That we have a God who is sovereign and in control, but He allows us free will and allows us the choice. One is not true at the expense of the other. We always get ourselves in trouble when, you know what, I can't get my brain quite wrapped around this, God. I can't quite understand this. So I'm going to put You into my box. That's a dangerous thing. But in here, I can tell you this morning that anyone who comes up to the bus and says, let me in, Jesus lets them in. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. They will have their forgiveness. They will have their acceptance. And I can tell you that everyone who is sitting on that bus is chosen by God. And what the blessing that comes around with that. And as the book of Ephesians unfolds, we talk about all the things that are in Him. Because you are in Christ, because you are the elect of God, because you belong to Him, these are all the things that belong to you. And so when we get into this, if you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've accepted Him by faith, that you've stepped onto the right bus, all these blessings become yours now. Because you're chosen in the Beloved. It gets pretty good. But in here, as we unfold, there's two things I want you to get off out of this. One, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's not a time when you said, yes, Lord, I accept You. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe You died on the cross for my sins, and I accept that. I want you to know this morning, the bus door is open wide. You are welcome. And God bids you to come in. If you said, yes, you know, I've done that. I've accepted Christ. I want to tell you how blessed you are. Because now you are in Him and He is in you. And He has given you every spiritual blessing from heavenly places. What a joy this is. And we haven't even got into the chapter yet. It gets better. But we're out of time, so we'll jump into that next week. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for the mysteries of faith, Lord, that even I don't quite understand it all, Lord, I will take You at Your word. Lord, we thank You for the call that goes out that whosoever will may come. But Lord, I do thank You that we are accepted in the Beloved. Lord, we thank You for the blessings and the riches we have in You. And Lord, that's all I need to know. Encourage us with these words. Strengthen us to get closer to You. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen.